Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Kevin Herr's birthday today, considered to be a national holiday. Kyle and I are celebrating by working. Joey Bosa, Dontre Wilson, Jalen Marshall, wide receiver Corey Smith, suspended for the opener against Virginia Tech because of marijuana academics. Obviously, Ohio State's not releasing that part, but reporters, that's what they've found out. And what combination fits whom, we don't know. But that's the story there. Anthony Zettel, one of the five players of influence in the Eastern Division. And tomorrow, James Franklin will be at the podium. We will have that for you tomorrow on the show, along with Corey Geiger from Chicago. And also, we'll have Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. David Price dealt today by the Detroit Tigers to the Toronto Blue Jays for three prospects. The Pirates got Joe Blanton from Kansas City. And the Phillies traded Cole Hamels last night. The catcher they got is very good. Very good. Very good arm behind the plate. Good power numbers. The only negative about him is that he has a tendency to be a free swinger. Thompson, the starting pitcher, is going to be has a chance to be a 2 or a 3 in the rotation. Has a good fastball, but not a plus fastball. His out pitch is his slider, and he's said to have an excellent slider. The outfielder, Nick Williams, I think he's only 20 years of age. He played in the Futures game last year. He's hitting 300 right now in the Texas League in Double A. And the negative here in the trade is that the Rangers have two top-flight power outfield prospects, and the Phillies did not get either one of them. The catcher is really good. Thompson's going to be really good. Williams, we'll see, has a chance. The other two pitchers they picked up are probably either fours or fives or bullpen guys down the road within a couple of years. I think Ruben Amaro, I would give him, without, obviously we'll have a firmer grade 2 years from now. The initial grade for him I would give him on this would be an A-. I think they did very well. You know, it could have been an A in my mind had he been able to get one of the two power guys. But overall, I think he actually did pretty well. B-plus, A-minus on this trade. I'd go probably that route there. So I think they came close. They almost maximized the deal. All right. Lou Prado is here with us. And Lou, it's great. Thanks for hanging along a little bit longer here in the Sunbury Motors studio. By the way, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And you have a book coming out. When's that book coming out now? Is it August, early September? When's that coming out?
I've had some discussions with my publisher. It's the same publisher most of my previous books, Triumph Books of Chicago. They're the specialty publisher.
They're very good.
And, you know, they do a lot of it. Thank God they're around. They help a lot of us. We don't make much money on them. Tommy Lasorda makes money when he does stuff. and the big names. But they have the big names and the little names and the regionals, guys that never heard of me and I never heard of them writing books. Mm-hmm. And this is part of a series called 100 Things. And they did about 30 of these before, and now they'll be up to about 50 or 60. And it's called 100 Things, and you've put in the name, 100 Things Penn State Fans Need to Know and Do Before They Die. And they've done Michigan game. They've done Michigan State. They've done Detroit Lions. They've done. I don't think they've done a pirate win yet. I have to look up. People could look it up. But they're continuing. And the way I was originally, my contact Tom Bast is semi retired, still involved in the vice president of the place. I think he's a vice president, and he pushed Jay's book too. And I helped. You know, he called me before the book was. Jay submitted a manuscript. We talked, and Jay's book's doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
This book's these books in this series, a lot of the books I did were series. I mean, they did What It Means to Be an Inline was part of a series. What It Means to Be a Crimson Tide, I mean, the same thing. But this is the first that it's a soft cover, and the price is going to be right. I mean, the price is going to be $15, $14.95. So it's it's really going to be right, and it's worked well for them. They've started this slowly, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So now they're pushing it, and they give you a little flexibility because originally the book was going to be about 80,000 words, and you know I overwrite. People say I need an editor. I need an editor with my mouth. My wife helps that. You know, Carol helps curve the mouth a little bit. But in any event, it was on a tight deadline too. I mean, I got the assignment December 13th. Although I talked to when we were out for the Indiana game is when I talked to my contact Tom. He lives there, and they wanted it by March 1st. They wanted a copy, and I knew I couldn't get it by March 1st. So in a conversation, they said, "Well, if you need to get it to us by March 15th." Well, it turns out that there was a little miscommunication of what I thought they needed. They gave me a lot more time than I needed. So initially we thought it wasn't going to come out till late October. I got it in enough, and they're very pleased with it. Da 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 da. That it's going to come out. They're going to start shipping to the. I've learned this yesterday. They're going to start shipping to the bookstores on middle of August.
Good.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll be available at the bookstores around the state, around the country. Your show, of course, is coast to coast.
We're on Ustream. We're on Ustream.
Who knows? They can order. They'll be able to order through Triumph Books, Amazon, mm-hmm. wherever, and Penn State Bookstore. We question when we're going to be able to do book signings at Penn State Bookstore because the official publication date is still October 1st.
Right.
And there's a lot of politics in this type of stuff.
But there's also contracts. So forth. Can I ask you a quick question, though? And I know you want to make a quick point. I think people would perceive it is easy to come up with 100 things. What was the degree of difficulty and how many were put into the easy category, boom, and then when did it start to become difficult? Was it numbers 75 to 100 where it became difficult?
For me, it was easy, than you might think, because I based this on history.
Okay.
They'd sent me copies of the Alabama book and the Nebraska book as examples, and I got into the internet. I could read other books, part of the books through Amazon,
good.
So I had a pretty good feel of what the book was about. Syracuse did a basketball and basketball and football book. There were some basketball books too. So they said I should put no more than 20 of the 100, even less, as non-football.
Right. Okay.
So I was able to expand it. I mean, we're not known as a basketball school. Okay. So we may be known as a wrestling school, but not really nationwide necessarily, except for the wrestling circles. But in any event, because of that, I had no problem with the 100. What I had a problem with was ranking them. I don't like to rank.
Right. Neither do I, as you know.
I frequently, get asked, pick. I don't even like to pick seasons. I mean, I picked for BWI the issue. I picked, the season this year. But I just don't like to do that. How do you think you're going to win a game? If I knew what they were going to win a game, I'd be in Las Vegas. Why the hell would I be here? I'd bet on the internet. I would be. So anyhow, I had to rank them, and I changed the ranking a lot. But the first 10 that I ranked, basically, were still in the first 10. I mean, I mixed them around. At least the first 15, I made a move to a couple because I was ranking right up to the end. Because your mind constantly changes. Okay.
Right.
And in any event, one of my favorite words. In any event. Favorite phrases is that my book turns out to be the biggest one they've had. It's 300 plus pages, competing with the New York Rangers book. I tie with the Rangers. Okay, and that was a good seller, so this might be right. Okay, depends. But the ranking is there to get the argument going. It's like the fans, you get the fans integrated so they can argue with me and discuss and whatever. And I say up front in my foreword, in my introduction that we want you to discuss this, okay? What is your number one? You know, but keep in mind it's a historical perspective. And the other part of the book is that I've got, at first we weren't going to get somebody to do a forward. They had a choice, and I said, well, you know, let me think about that. I was writing the book, and I was running on this deadline, and I thought I didn't have a chance to get somebody to do a forward. So eventually it came back when I got the manuscript in before they, I mean, I shocked them. It was in there. Everything was there before they thought so. They said, "Well, get a forward now." So I contacted Adam Taliaferro.
Oh, very nice.
So Adam did the. I sent him a couple chapters, including the one on his own. He's in the book, but he is, his ranking isn't exactly up in the top 10. Now that I tried to be. I give the criteria of what I rank it on, and I try to rank on the significance today, 2015 season. Mm-hmm. From the football program going back to the beginning. What is the significance of where we are today?
Right.
And I will tell you that Bill O'Brien's in there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you the ranking because I want people to get the book. And
exactly,
then we can, I want to be back in another show so we can discuss this.
And we will.
And Franklin's in there and Hackenberg's in there. I actually cheated.
It's your book. You don't have to cheat.
Well, I cheated. I cheated by, I took a couple chapters and I put 10 or 15 different things they should do that I didn't put long chapters. One of them being Mike the Mailman.
Okay.
Okay. And Mike's going to help sign books. So I got his
good name
in, you know.
That's
so
good.
So, but I mean, there are certain things I said I cheated. But you're also allowed to put sidebars. So okay. I put sidebars to events. So if Milt Plum did not make a chapter, but he made a sidebar because he was important. Lenny Moore made a chapter,
okay? Right?
And I had to combine players together. I noticing the other books, sometimes they just put this, they put a season in, and they gave the only seasons that are in with it was the 31 game on Beaton Street. Okay,
right.
That's there, but and I didn't put the media guide can do this stuff. You can get statistics, but I did some other things academically and the whole thing. So
there's more than 100 in here because of the sidebars.
Yeah, and they also ask you to put they want you to have a chapter about where to go and where to, hotels and have dinner and in places, you know, and so.
And we live here. How the heck do we know what hotels to go to?
I don't, you know, but these are for out-of-town visitors.
Right,
you know.
What do you recommend? I don't know. I don't live here. I don't stay at any.
But I'll give you an example of, this is one of the names of one of the chapters, Class Beats Crass for the National Championship.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Joe Mason and the Princeton Tiger. Okay. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Big Ten.
Yep.
See George Dyke's trumpet.
Ah.
Okay. You know, the blue band.
Mm-hmm.
Play Days.
Okay.
What's play days? What do you think play days?
What play days
play
are?
Days.
You mean on campus?
Play days. This is the name of a chapter. Play days, : women pioneers before Title IX.
How about that?
So I get.
So that would be what in the 70s, 60s, 60s,
60s. Yeah, 64. This was monumental. I mean, we were ahead of the curve. You know?
Right.
And that's what I try to do. Can you you can shove it, Mr. President? What year was that?
Oh, that would be, 1969?
1969
with Nixon.
Yeah.
And the Texas-Arkansas game.
So I tried to.
Oh, that was the one where Joe said they called him at home, and he said, I didn't see the game, I was babysitting.
Yeah. So there are various, see the Olympic medals of Horse and Barney. Okay, there's a chapter. Paul Bunyan and his ox. Okay. View the game film of McCluskey's controversial catch.
Watch it in an Omaha bar.
Then I have Lydell and Kurt, John and Kerry. See, I tried to combine the guys.
Sure.
Shane Conlon, okay? General Beaver and Old Beaver Field. Keith Dorney and other grunts. And it sort of tells you what it is. The would-be Heisman Trophy quarterbacks. Attend Lift for Life. I mean, you see it. I'm trying to get in.
You know
there.
What a lot of people don't realize is Chuck Fucina finished second for the Heisman Trophy. He actually had more first place votes than Billy Sims.
It was close.
He had more first place votes.
And so there I have who's the best coach in Penn State football history. So you know there's a lot of room for discussion here and a lot of things to get into. Christian Hackenberg is in there in a particular piece, but. Even Franklin's in there, you know.
Well, I would hope so. I think it's a good thing to have him in there.
I say that for a reason. There's another name, the camping trip.
Oh, Bob. Yeah, Knight.
And then your favorite.
And the funny thing about Knight is, you know how many times Knight played over at Center Hills Country Club? Because, you know, he and Bob Meidinger were good friends.
Yeah, they were there all the time,
he
right?
He came here all the time. He fished with Joe Humphreys. I mean, it's like, and everybody... He did exactly what he got exactly the effect he wanted. A place that he loved to come to, he gave it a little jab because he didn't like the method by which Penn State came in. Not that Penn State was in, he just didn't like the method. Well, like Bo Schembechler.
Yeah, Bo Schembechler too.
Bo
Rick Bay.
Absolutely in favor of the institution of Penn State. He just didn't like how they did it.
Yeah, he felt he was left out of the, he wasn't right. consulted.
And remember, still mad, by the way, about how the same group made sure he didn't get to the Rose Bowl one year either.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of
I was a Michigan fan back then. Yeah. I was there. I was part of that. Our station covered it. Here's another one you'll like, the Licklider game.
Oh, jeez.
Okay?
Yes, I know. I remember exactly how I called it.
Here's one of my favorites. Boast about 48-14 and root against Pitt.
You know what the interesting thing about 48-14? From a personal standpoint, that was the big break for me.
Well, yeah.
Fran and John Grant did the game at Pitt.
Right.
They did not have anyone to do the basketball game that night here on the radio network for Bloomsburg. That was my first game.
Well, if I'd have known that, I'd have to put that in the update.
Yeah.
Well, there's a chapter here. Listen to Steve and Jack on the radio.
Yeah.
And
that's
the
nice.
The sidebar is Fran and George Paterno. So see I
very
cover
nice.
Everything,
very
and
nice.
then here's another one, the big uglies. So I have a chapter about the fans, okay, and you know it goes on. Am I going to
talk about the guys down with the guys?
Yeah, the Duda brothers.
Know, I don't think I've ever met them.
Oh, but I got to, you got to introduce you to the Duda brothers, John, Paul, and
now remember, yeah, we're. People think that we're all over the place.
No, you're
on
not.
Game
you're,
day.
No, you're. I know. I followed.
We're pretty much.
you're like the president. You got an armed guard. What's his name? Your armed guard.
Mueller.
Yeah, Mueller. I was thinking of your producer.
Oh, Roger Corey, Jeff Tarman.
Roger Corey. But that's it. You got Mueller. Dirty. You got an armed guard taking you to each place
I'll come in, park, and so I'll say hi to the people there. Then I'll go in, and people say hi as I go in, but it's to the elevator. I go in there. There's something I have to record a half hour before airtime. And so I record it. Then I pick up a couple of things that maybe I need up there just to check something. I'll watch game day on TV. Then I'll go down about 10:30, and I'll walk that through the parking lot. Then we do the show. Then we go back. Well, there's no real room go around to do a lot.
Yeah, we'll have to get the Duda brothers. I'll talk to what they've cut back on the.
I know they have, but I would like to meet them.
I'd like to get them to attend.
I never have had a chance to meet
them. I'll get them to Ron. I got to get them to Ron Moeller's post-game.
And let them know they'll be treated like royalty because if it's a Mueller production.
but I got to tell you about the Duda brothers. I mean, for the State College Owls, they don't know the big uglies. I mean, they see them. They have these masks they picked up at a bowl game years ago, and they wear the uniforms, and they call themselves the 12th man now, and they all wear the same number. And they used to have the guy from Columbus, a friend of theirs from Columbus, used to be the Joe Paterno in his mask, but he's gone now. But the Duda brothers and John is a brain surgeon, okay. They were born and raised in that College Heights neighborhood around where Joe Paterno lives, where the coaches lived back then. Badink, they all ripped,
right,
they
sure.
all lived around there. Okay, that was just right there. But the school was much smaller.
Right.
And John's father was a dean of, I think, engineering. I may be wrong about this, but the mother, Margaret, she's still there, and Margaret and I are friends on Facebook. I mean, you know, and they started getting in, you know, just like Tim Curley did, crawling in, you know, getting into the old Beaver Field,
sneaking into the
whole thing.
Oh, that's what Rec Hall. The number of areas you could sneak into Rec Hall. That's why the attendance was never right there.
So, but then they started. Then when John was an undergrad, he started being one of these crazies we have still this day in that bad weather. One painting his chest and all that face, and he just carried it on. You know, they think so. The people find out he's a brain surgeon, and I write about him and other fans in here. But the Duda brothers are just great. I mean,
there's so many people I've wanted to meet over the years. But part of the problem is that they actually, and the sound. I don't want this to come off the way it's going to sound, but in a lot of ways they have to come to us because it's difficult for us on game day to get to them.
Well, that's why a lot of the fans that show up at that pregame talk Q&A.
I love talking to them.
I mean, you and Jack enjoy that type of stuff. I mean,
we love it. We interact with everybody during commercial breaks. We'll go down and he's signing stuff left and right. People come out, they want to say hi. We love the interaction, but again, you're working, so you really have to be in that spot.
Yeah, but you know, and I, as I said, I do that in one of the chapters. I could write a second book, 100 more best things.
Wow.
Okay, but take it a little different tact. And let's face it, this is 2015. 2016, it may change. We don't know what type of seasons Franklin's team is going to have.
Sure.
It could go any direction. I mean, it's really a mystery. Just like the last few years. I mean, we had a pretty good idea back when Joe was still coaching, the consistency, and it was building up, and you had the down seasons and where it was going and all that. But, you know, it tailed down and then came back.
But you knew what you had coming back. Yeah. You had a good feel as to what somebody who might be behind. Now it's because there's had to be a rebuild. You're not sure yet.
Yeah, and we don't know how the new recruits are going to be. I mean,
sure. What,
six players left. Six players left from the Paterno. They were coached by Paterno. And I'm working on a BWI story about the change of the names and trying to get reactions from other players.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to Spider at length and Wally, and I'm talking about the Letterman Club too. I'm going to do a piece on the whole thing because they're involved and know how it's happened. But like Spider said, he's heard from a lot of some players and even managers talking about the reaction to the name. So, but going back to what original part of we started is Franklin did the right thing, but we don't know what his recruits are like. We know that we've had recruits in the past, the recruiting classes in the past, away they went. And these kids are different. They're not committed. That's why I don't pay much attention to recruiting until they're signed. Once they're signed and once they're here, then I start paying attention. Wow. I remember that quarterback was going to be the great quarterback, and his dad was from West Virginia, and he wound up. Where did he wind up? He didn't play here. He turned out to be not so good. We've had
I remember Zach Wasserman.
Zach
from
Wasserman
California.
Was another. I mean, you go down through the list, and you never know how they're going to wind up. So. And chemistry is everything. Chemistry mm-hmm. is everything. One player can make a difference. I mean, we found that out. It takes a couple. The team that was the most disappointing was that 92 team. They had all the talent,
mm-hmm.
but that's what we got in the Big Ten. We were getting screwed by the Big Ten. They wouldn't let us. We had to get the bowl game.
That was the blockbuster bowl.
And they had it. And they folded.
Right. But then you get a team. Lou, thanks so much. Appreciate it. By the way, many have wondered about whether or not they will be honoring the 2005 Big Ten championship team led by Michael Robinson during the season this year. My understanding is they're going to do it at the blue-white game in the fall because some of those players are still active players right now. And because of that, they're going to have their reunion in the spring blue-white weekend. So just file that away. Final half hour, Adam Bittner, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Lou, thanks for joining us. Great to have you with us today here in the Sunbury Motors studio. News is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KR, it's 11 at 15 in Hubble's Wharf. Kyle, it's Kevin's birthday today. Anything you'd like to pass along to him?
I'll say happy birthday and just leave it at that.
Hey, he's not the best color analyst in the business for nothing. yeah, Kyle speaks for all of us.
And I guess I'd also tell him not to, you know, drink the Olympic water at this point.
Ah, that's fine. Nothing's going to affect him. Captain Cast Iron. It'll be fun. we'll talk a little bit more about some of the trades a little bit. I'd give Ruben Amaro a high B+, A- for what he did. Could have been an A if he'd been able to pry away one of those top outfield power prospects. Rangers have two, didn't, but still did pretty well. All right. Adam Bittner does a lot of writing for the E Edition, Pittsburgh Press, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us, their columnist. Adam, welcome. It's great to have you on board with us today.
No problem, Steve. Great to talk to you.
All right, let's start with this. Really liked the concept right off the top. Aramis Ramirez to Pirates deal, minor on paper, huge on perception. Agree with that totally. When you look at the fan base of the Pirates, how important is it to you that while doing something on the field professionally and it's going to help the club, also gives the fans a perception you're doing something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think in baseball a lot today, there are a lot of fans who we get absorbed in the numbers a lot, and nostalgia sometimes takes a back seat. But in this case, I think the Pirates were able to do something where they got, you know, a bat that helped them in the short term, you know, helps them get through the injuries to Jordy Mercer and Josh Harrison, but also, you know, gives people something to feel good about, you know, because Aramis Ramirez began his career here. You know, for a lot of people my age, he was one of the first, you know, big Pirate stars that we had. And when he got shipped out, basically in a salary dump, it was hard to understand for someone who was just getting into the game and that type of thing. So to bring him back and kind of cast off that era of Pirates baseball where they would sell off players and, you know, and not be contenders and stuff like that, this is significant because it checks two boxes instead of one.
How interesting is it for you in your job, Adam, that you really can take a wide look at everything? You're not just, boom, Pirates. You know, you'll write about the Penguins. You'll throw in something about James Franklin. You'll throw in something about the Brickyard 400, whatever. Does that help in terms of keeping you pushing forward, that you can hit a variety of topics during the course of a week?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we always try to look for, you know, what's happening now. But sometimes I also like to, you know, kind of go off the beaten path because we do have, you know, other columnists at the paper, and they do a lot more of the day-to-day. So in the press, sometimes we like to change it up a little bit. A couple weeks ago, I was at a NASCAR race at Kentucky. You know, observed a lot of Confederate flags there, which was more than I had seen in the previous year when I'd gone to that race. So I decided to tackle that. You know, there was a news peg to it, but it wasn't necessarily something that was in the obvious wheelhouse. But I thought it was important to touch on it. So I like to have the ability to kind of step back and say, okay, well, what's happening here? That's not just in the day-to-day of the Pirates or the Penguins or the Steelers. You know, and kind of shine a light on those issues.
What's interesting, you mentioned you went to the Kentucky race. There's a lot of disappointment in NASCAR circles about how the Brickyard 400 played out again. Almost all the passing took place in the pits and not on the track. Kentucky, they had a lot more passing, not perfect, because they had a different setup. What was your view in watching NASCAR, the reaction in Kentucky? What did you take out of that?
Well, the NASCAR, the race at Kentucky that we actually got to watch was exciting because, you know, because you can look all the way around the track and there's battles going on everywhere. And I think a lot of people, you know, that you always hear, oh, it's just going around in circles as a criticism of NASCAR. But when you're at a race, you can watch whatever you want, you know, what's out there. You can watch a battle over here in turn four, a battle over there in turn one for the lead. And you can see people gaining on each other and fighting for position. At Kentucky, we had a ton of that because of the new aero package that they were testing out there. In Indianapolis this weekend, you didn't really have much of that at all. You know, I was listening to Danica Patrick's radio for a little while, and she was complaining that she could get up to the car in front of her, but the aerodynamics were such that she couldn't get around them. So she went by like three or four times just riding right behind the guy, but she couldn't get around him to get around him. So I think NASCAR is going to have to go back to the drawing board if they want to get more passing out there at Indianapolis. And it's tough because there's not a whole lot of tracks like Indy.
Right.
You know, Pocono is probably the closest comparison, and then those two are kind of out there on their own. So they only really get one shot to test, like this weekend.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do for next year.
Right, exactly. And my understanding is they're going to do, for Darlington, a Kentucky-style setup because they think they want to see it at Darlington. So that's why I asked the question about that. That's going to be for them. Because right now, what happens, NASCAR gets higher ratings. IndyCar is more exciting to watch because they pass.
Yes, if you watch the Indianapolis 500, it's the same track, and it was a completely different type of racing. Those last 20 laps, there were three drivers up there. They were all battling. They all took their shot leading, and it just happened to be one Pablo Montoya that got the best at the end. And it was a completely different race than what we saw on Sunday. Same track, just different aerodynamics playing out.
All right, let's get back to Pittsburgh sports for a moment. The Penguins made some moves again today, and you had just written a column, I believe, about, you know, hey, look, Chris Letang should be available out there. What do you think about what the Penguins did today?
I think it's good. I think anything you can do to defuse the injury risk. You know, I've written extensively about how the Penguins are too invested in this core of Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Fleury, and I guess now you can add Phil Kessel to that.
Right.
You know, very often in the last 5 years, we've seen the Penguins, you know, sunk by injuries to their key players. And you know, I've had a lot of people say to me, "Well, you know, the Blackhawks, you know, it's the same for them. If they'd had a key injury, you know, they probably wouldn't have gone on this dominant, you know, streak of winning Stanley Cups." And that might be true, but they also haven't. The injuries haven't happened to them, whereas the Penguins have been befallen by them. We know what happens when somebody like Chris Letang goes down, and we saw it in the first round this year against the Rangers. So I think a trade like today, kind of diffusing Brandon Sutter into a couple new players, you know, it increases the depth a little more. Maybe not to where it should be if the Penguins are going to get through an injury to a key player. But it's the right idea. I believe they got a second-round pick out of the deal, too, which
yes.
It might be the first early pick they've acquired rather than given away in a while.
Adam Bittner joining us. And, Adam, you wrote in the Aramis Ramirez column about other possibilities that you had dangled earlier, Clint Barmas, Cliff Pennington, Ben Zobrist. Do you think the Pirates are finished with Friday coming up?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways you can go with a guy like Aramis Ramirez.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if they want to try him at first base, they can try him at first base. He's never played there, but I've seen a couple comments, you know, indicating that he would be willing to try, that they might be willing to try. So I think it all kind of depends upon how they feel about, you know, Ramirez. I do think that we've, in the last couple of weeks, kind of seen the erosion of that bridge between the starters and the back end of the bullpen with Tony Watson and Mark Melanson. You know, Archimedes Caminero has struggled. Some of the other guys in those middle innings, Antonio Bastardo, you know, we've kind of seen them fall back to earth a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see if they want to target a reliever. There have been a couple reports last week that that's what they were looking at. So I think that seems like the most likely move right now,
mm-hmm.
To me, but you never really know. I think if they get a deal they like for first base, then they might want to jump on it.
We know what the previous 20 years have been like. Then they made the playoffs, won a game, lost a series. Last year, got in, lost the game. How would you evaluate the psyche of the Pirate fan base in Pittsburgh now? Confident, little, you know, great feeling, nervous, still not sure?
I think people are generally just happy to be here. You know, it was such a long time between having any meaningful baseball. And I always said that, you know, even just a winning season would have been a huge deal around here, let alone what happened in 2013 with the catharsis of that wild card game and then getting into a full five-game series with the Cardinals and kind of proving that they belonged. I don't think anybody had even thought that far ahead at that point. At the beginning of this year, a lot of people were talking about, well, now they need to win the division. They need to win the division. That's the marker. But you wake up this morning and the Cardinals are on pace to win 104 games, which it's going to be very difficult for the Pirates to match that.
Exactly.
So I get the sense that people, you know, are nervous about another wild card game, but there's also a sense of, you know, what else can they do? You know, there's not much you can do when you're going up like against a team as good as the Cardinals. So I think people are nervous for a wild card game, but I think they're kind of resigned to, you know, there's not much that they could have done, you know, to go up against a foe like that.
Well, last year, both World Series participants came out of the wild card game. So
right.
It's very, very possible. I loved this tweet you put out earlier. My takeaway from all this business is, holy cow, Jose Reyes is still only 32 years old. And, of course, he was dealt for Tulowitzki. The perception is Tulowitzki is still a young player, and Reyes is this older player the Colorado got. Well, yeah, 32 in baseball is older. But it's amazing. Reyes is still only 32 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I had my favorite good team, and that was the Mets.
Right.
So I kind of adopted them while waiting for the Pirates to do something. And Jose Reyes was the guy back then, and I was still, you know, I don't think I was even out of high school yet. So for him to still only be 32 now is just kind of mind-boggling. You know, it seems like he's got a new home out there.
Then the other one, James Franklin will throw out first pitch at Phillies game Thursday night. No word yet on whether they'll leave him in there. They are winning now. But how do you look from your seat? And, you know, you're not going to be in tune with what the Phillies are going on, but the Cole Hamels situation.
Well, I wrote a column actually when there was a suggestion in Pittsburgh that the Pirates would try to trade for him.
Right.
That I'm not sure how reasonable a general manager Ruben Amaro is. So I'm interested to see if he actually gets traded, because everybody thought he was going to get traded last year, and that didn't happen. And that didn't happen with a lot of the other Phillies that probably should have been traded. And they held on to them, and now some of them, their trade values is even lower than it was then. They're stuck with these big contracts. So I'm interested to see if he even gets traded at all. There's a lot of reports saying that that's what's going to happen, but I feel like we were at that point last year. So I'm interested to see, number one, does he get traded? Number two, what do the Phillies ultimately settle for? Because they've been holding on to them because a lot of teams have felt that the ask has been too high. So I'm interested to see where it all ends up.
The Brady mess, it affects the Steelers because that's opening night. Very quietly, people may not realize, but there's been some negotiations going on between the National Football League Players Association and the NFL about Le'Veon Bell, who will not play opening night either, and right now is a 3-game suspension. What's your take on each? What should Bell, in your opinion, Adam, end up with, and what should Brady end up with?
Steve, it's hard to say, because the NFL just, there's no consistency from case to case.
That's a good point.
It just seems very arbitrary, to the point that I've never really, it's hard to hold up one guy against the other and say, well, if this guy gets this guy should get this. Because there is no consistency. I mean, Ray Rice got a 2-game suspension initially.
Right.
And so you're going to suspend Le'Veon Bell for more games. You're going to suspend Tom Brady for more games. I don't know. I don't know what the value of a game is when it seems to be so fluid from year to year and even week to week.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. What's your view on the initial view on the Steelers before they get really rolling with this training camp?
Well, I think there's a lot of talk around here about how it's a new era for this team, really, because you're moving into a new situation with a new defensive coordinator and Keith Butler.
Right.
A lot of the older players are gone. Troy Polamalu's retirement kind of put a cap on that. James Harrison's still around, but most of those guys from those championship defenses are now gone. It's going to be interesting to see how he kind of molds his group. Like, these are his guys. Obviously everybody respected and loved Dick LeBeau, but, they didn't go through all of those great moments with him, a lot of these younger players. So it'll be interesting to see how that defense comes together. And I think if it does come together, the Steelers have a chance to be a really good championship caliber team, because the offense has shown, that it can go off pretty much any weekend that it wants. It's just a matter of how many points are they going to give up. I think this is one of the more intriguing Steelers seasons we've had in a long time, because there's been so much change and because it's been kind of the start of a new era.
Well, the Daily Collegian has turned out some really, really good ones. You're one of them, and I know you're a proud graduate of it.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah, but you continue to do great work. I enjoy it very much. Thanks a lot for giving us a few minutes of your time today, Adam. I hope it's not the last time we have you on.
Hope not. Thank you very much, Steve. I was glad to be here.
Adam Bittner, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We will wrap things up in a moment. Let's see now. Game 5, Cowboys. Greg Hardy plays. Brady doesn't. One is for being accused of putting in a needle into a football. The other one's accused of what? We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The record will be broken. That's right, the 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $6,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under 30 grand. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Summertime at Biter's Home Center means guaranteed low prices on the area's largest selection of air conditioners, with over 1,000 air conditioners in stock. With the hottest days of summer still ahead, hurry to Biter's for a higher 5,000 BTU air conditioner, only $111. Save on an 8,000 BTU air conditioner with electronic controls, just $188. And a higher 12,000 BTU Energy Star air conditioner is an unheard of, unbelievable $264 after mail-in rebate. Plus, we have great deals on dehumidifiers to help dry out the areas of your home affected by the fifth wettest June in history. Get a higher 45-pint dehumidifier, just $174 after mail-in rebate. Or get a higher 70-pint Energy Star dehumidifier with built-in drain pump for only $233 after mail-in rebate. Prices are guaranteed only through the end of July, so hurry to one of Biter's 5 convenient locations in South Williamsport, Lock Haven, Sunbury, Mansfield, or East Lewisburg today, and check out the area's largest selection of air conditioners and dehumidifiers.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Talking to Mitch Kupchak, Laker GM. Okay, so Larry Nance Jr. let a tweet. Gee, I sure hope Kobe keeps his hands to himself in Denver this time. #rapist. After you found out, what did you do?
I had a conversation along with our public relations director with Larry Nance Jr. And he was incredibly apologetic.
The Dan Patrick Show. Weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And on the WKOK. Okay, app.
Okay, Cole Hamels, I give Ruben Amaro high B plus, low A minus on the Hamels deal. I actually thought he did pretty well. The catcher, I think, has a chance to be really good. He's a free swinger, but a good arm and a good power bat. Just too much of a free swinger, maybe for some taste. Thompson has a chance to, with that slider that he has, to be, he doesn't have a plus fastball. It's a good fastball, but not a plus fastball. Good slider. Has a chance to be maybe a two or three starter eventually down the road in the rotation. The other two pitchers they picked up are probably back of the rotation guys or bullpen guys. And the Williams kid, Nick Williams, right now is in double A hitting 300. And he is not the top prospect in the outfield. They have two others that are much higher on the food chain in Texas, but he's not bad at the level he's at. So I think high B plus, low A minus on the initial rating for Ruben Amaro on the Hamels trade. It's Kevin's birthday. 800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in and wish Kevin happy birthday? That's 800-795-9565. Repeating, the number is 800-795-9565.
And cricket.
It's interesting. He really does feel like his birthday is some sort of holiday.
In his mind, it is.
Well, he said to me once, I've never once heard you take your birthday off. I said, for what? That's a work day. But I'll take it off. It happens to be it's a weekend. There's no game. Yeah. Woo.
I think Kevin would like to treat every day like his birthday if he could, though.
I have 17 or 18 different one-liners I'd like to use about now. But we'll keep that in check for today. How about that? Fun show today. Our thanks to Adam Bittner, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and also to Lou Prado for being on the show today. Tomorrow, James Franklin's press conference at Big Ten Media Day. Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror at Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. And also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. We look forward to it. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.